You're listening to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. And here we are again.
It's the Yes, I Am Still Sober
podcast. I'm John Rabin.
It's episode 126. The day before Thanksgiving in 2020. It's November 25th, the day of this recording. And the day is almost over. I have put it off long enough. I've napped. As long as I'm going to nap, it's time to do this real quick. My mood can be described as, I don't give a fuck, kind of a mood, because I'm married. The deed is done. The everything that we've put all our thoughts and emotions and efforts into for the past, well, I mean, I guess from getting engaged, so August on, which is really not that long compared to most people, 3.5 months. But it, we got everything taken care of. It's, it was great, you guys. Despite things going awry and going wrong, now, in spite of everything going wrong, it was a beautiful wedding. And, I have a wife, and I'm doing great. Yeah, my wife, I'm doing great. But what that means is, I mean, it's pretty much phoning in the rest of the week. Because we rested, you know, we're still exhausted. It's just like, all right. Luckily, there's nothing to do. So it's like just kind of sit back and just take it easy. And so that's what I'm going to do the rest of the week. But let me tell you, it was something. There was a. What's weird is a couple of things, and I'm not going to bore you too much, but I guess I. We ended up having, so we had a wedding at, what does he call it? Is it La Finca de Vino, I think is what he calls it. Which is the wine farm. I don't know. Tommy, which is a friend of my wife's, who owns a place out in Jonestown, Texas. Not that Jonestown, Texas. If you don't know, every town that exists anywhere, there's most likely a town in Texas with the same name. I was born in Athens, Texas. There's Paris, Texas, etc. Anyway, Jonestown, Texas, not that Jonestown. He owns a place outside of there. And we had an outdoor wedding for about 24 people, including staff. And it came together. And it was... some of you have seen, you know, I've got a few pictures on my Instagram, if you want to take a look. It's at Smoke Puppet. So you can also follow me on there. I sometimes post pictures, unlike every other Instagram account. By the way, no, actually, I do post pictures. I don't post pictures of my Twitter so that I can also make statements on my Instagram, like, here's what I gotta say. Like, I know some of you do that, and that's fine, I guess. It's not for me. Good for you. I have you muted. Hey, John hasn't liked my stuff in a while. There's a reason. Anyway, so I posted some pictures on there, like, it's weird how things fell into place for us, though, that kept it really affordable. Because Tommy, it was one of those things where we were looking at venues, and because I bitched about how much venues cost, because I bitched about it, because we were talking about it, because Crystal basically did all the work. Initial, you know, I'm planning my wedding. What do you think? And then I, you know, at first was like, I don't care. You got to care. Just give an opinion. Go, well, I think this. Well, that's not what we're doing. All right. I gave my 2 cents. So we're looking at this venue and it's affordable. And by affordable, meaning it's $1,000 for the few hours that we're going to do it. But they don't provide anything else. That was it. There's no tables. There's no amenities. It's just like basically renting that space. And I'm like, what the fuck is $1,000 for? I'm like, at this point, why don't we just rent an Airbnb for God's sake? And she just kind of looked at me for a second. And I'm like, no, but for real though. And she goes, no, hold on. And she started thinking about it. And we started thinking about people who own land that if we're going to give money to, why not give money to somebody that we know that we're comfortable with and all this other stuff. So we ended up talking to our friend Tommy, who has this land out there on the side of a mountain-ish, like big hills, and out there in, you know, Leander, Jonestown, Texas. And it's funny because we're talking to him and he, you know, people haven't, you know, obviously because of the pandemic and stuff, he doesn't get a lot of visitors. Nothing's open. Doesn't go out as much. Motherfucker's bored. And he goes, hell yeah, we should do a wedding here. I would love to host it. And, you know, a lot of things fell into place for us and a lot of people really jumped in to help with different projects and stuff because they needed a project. They needed shit to do. It was like, yes, give me something. I'm tired of making bread or whatever they're doing, right? So Tommy was in. And it just so happened, you know, I'm working part-time at the Sugar Mama's Bakery. And they made us a wedding cake. That was badass. And then charged me for it because it's like, no, you do a lot of work for us. So like the owner was like, I'm going to make you, you know, we got your cake. So that was awesome. We had, you know, we fell into, for example, my best man, the Jay Whitecotton. Look him up. Comedian extraordinary Jay Whitecotton, my best man. Also used to be a wedding DJ. it's not on his bio, but apparently he used to DJ weddings. So he like put together playlists, you know, because we at first tried to get like string quartets or some kind of live music. But because the pandemic got worse and just because of like, you know, booking and different type of things kept falling through, but you know, we got that taken care of. We had you know, our officiant was Mike Wiebe, who is the lead singer of the Riverboat Gamblers, also a stand-up comedian friend of mine. And we just all this, you know, we had comedians help basically. Another friend of ours, comedian Avery, who bartended, made like a CBD mocktail for me and a cocktail for others as well. And it just all just kind of fell into place and people helping out. Tommy did a hell of a lot of stuff on his land. You gave him a project and he had like 18 different ideas and he pursued all of them, finished most of them. And it was great. Oh, what was that other thing? My favorite CBD beverage is made by a company called Dusol, who is based here in Austin, Texas. And Crystal called them and was like, hey, we, you know, because they're like $2.99 or $3.99 or something now, or they used to be $2 for $5, and we're like, hey, we need some. And she called them about our wedding and about how it's my favorite beverage, and they made a deal with us for a couple of cases of CBD beverages for a really good deal. And so that was just awesome. Also, on a personal level, I've got a bunch of CBD sodas, so I'm chill as fuck right now, let me tell you. But you know, it just, everything really fell into place. Now, there were a bunch of shit that went wrong. There was just like, you know, just things that just go awry. The Zoom part of the wedding didn't turn out. And, you know, we had a person who was supposed to record it didn't do what she was supposed to do. And, but it was interesting because other people got the ceremony on their phone and stuff. And at first, you know, you think, why are other people, you've got a photographer, why are other people taking pictures and videotaping? It doesn't matter because we needed them, and there's some great shots, and it all worked out in spite of it. And it was funny for me because she'd been talking about the wedding and the schedule and everything that she wanted over and over and over again for the past couple of months, and I've been listening to it, absorbing it, so that when things went down and everybody was running around going, I don't know, what are we doing? What's going on? Because we didn't have a wedding planner, you know? We didn't, you know, it was a small wedding. We didn't afford someone to be the wedding planner, you know, dictator. So I stepped in to make sure, because I know you, I could have been in the back just look, you know, trying on my tux and going, look how pretty I am. But I instead wanted to make sure that everything was getting taken care of. And it came second nature because there is something about getting, you know, being told what needs to happen, like the repetition over and over and over again, that it just kind of sticks. And you're like, oh, I know what we need. Let's do this. Like, it was all my idea. Totally not my idea. I don't know if my wife planned that shit to where she kept putting it in my brain, like over and over and over again, like one day you will be on your own and then you will know what to do. Like Jedi mind trick that shit into me. I don't know. We were going, and like the ceremony was about to start, and we couldn't get the Zoom going, and I was like, I don't know what we need to do. And my favorite moment was, you know, looking at, you know, not knowing what we're going to do about the Zoom part, and the ceremony's about to start, and everybody's waiting on me to get it started, and I'm looking, and I'm trying to figure out if we should, our friend Valerie Lopez, who runs Comedy Wham. By the way, if you need to know anything about comedy in the Austin scene, go to Comedy Wham. She's amazing. And she's like I'm trying to ask her how we could do it because it wasn't set up for her to do her job because she was supposed to host for us. And she did a fucking fantastic job. We love you, Val. I'm trying to talk to her. And I turn and look at Jay while we're trying to get stuff, you know, for people who wanted to watch the wedding via Zoom, and Jay just goes, fuck them! Like, he mouths that to me. And I went, all right. And for those of you who are listening, we don't mean, you know, fuck you, but like, it's like, look, type of the moment, we'll get it recorded, we'll post it, it'll be fine, we'll figure this shit out. So we just went, and it turned out all right. Sorry for rambling on about it, but it was amazing how things kind of fell into place. And I want to give a big shout out to Tommy and his wonderful place and all the shit that he did and all the stuff that my boy Jay did. I just gave her props, but Val at Comedy Wham, thank you so much. You're amazing. Also, our caterers was they're called Indie Eats with a Z. Look them up if you need catering. The food was fucking fantastic. So, and Tommy owns a flamethrower. And it's like, is it the, and when we ask him, is this like the Elon Musk flamethrower? And he goes, no, that's a piece of shit. So I don't know. This is like a modified, I don't know where he got the flamethrower and how, what he modified it with. But there's a, I think the picture of today's episode, I'm going to put the shot of it. So we, you know, my wife wanted to light the bonfire that we were going to have after the ceremony and after the reception. She wanted to light the bonfire with a flamethrower. And I thought, all right, sure, we'll do that. And kind of rolled my eyes at it because I didn't think she was serious. No, Tommy's got a flamethrower. I'm sure he does. All right, I guess we'll do it. Well, she fucking did it. She totally did it. And it's the most surreal thing in her wedding dress with a flamethrower. It's like two Tarantino movies in one, that shot. It's an amazing photo. And it was, they tried to make some kind of, Tommy tried to get the, he got a great picture of it, but he was trying to set it up to where, all right, we got to make this symbolic of blah, 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 blah. And she just interrupts him and she just goes, screw you, single life. And then she set the shit on fire. And it was, was the highlight. It's the one thing I'm never going to forget. I tell you, there's definitely special moments and things in the wedding that I'm going to remember. But the very last thing that I will forget, if my mind goes and I start losing all my memories, I will never forget the fucking flamethrower. I'll tell you that. It was amazing. So, let's see here. Right. That is the most memorable riff. Is it down, bow down, down? It's the only, it's the best thing Phil Spector ever came up with. Doesn't outdo all the bad shit he's done, but so we played this song, which is by the band's called The Crystals. Appropriately enough, this was our recessional song. So this is what's, as soon as You May Kiss the Bride, boom, we played this song timed up with the Andy, and then he kissed me part in the chorus about, you know, when we were kissing and all that stuff. And so that this is what this, so our wedding, when we hear the song Our Wedding, this is what we're going to think about. But what's funny is that this song has apparently different connotations to different people. It's like, for example, what Crystal remembers about this song makes her think of Elizabeth Shue at the beginning of Adventures in Babysitting, apparently. And I'm like, that doesn't make, no. I was like, no. That's what you relate this song to? What I relate this song to is the long tracking shot with Henry Hill and Karen's first date in Goodfellas, where they're going back in through the kitchen and stuff. But that just makes sense that it only, you know, it only matters to, it means we're like the demographic to each of those movies. Clearly, I'm Goodfellas demographic, and clearly Crystal is Adventures in Babysitting demographic is who they were going for. That's clearly who that is. All right, that's enough of that. We have to hear the whole song, John? Let's see. And it's going to cut off here. I should fade it out, but I'm not going to. And then again. All right, you got it. Anyway, that's that. But, yeah, so we're always going to remember the that song with the wedding. Anyway, thanks for that. Thanks for sticking with me for the 20 minutes about my wedding. And I'll never mention it again. I swear. Well, we need to get out of here. But before we do, let me just say this. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving. I hope everybody's going to be safe. If you're a sober person, I hope you stay sober through Thanksgiving. You made it this far. You stayed sober throughout the pandemic. You can continue on. You're doing great. One day at a time is a cliche, but it's also true. Keep doing what you're doing. If you're not a sober person, I hope you're still hanging in there and you're staying sane. I know I say that every week, but it's a good reminder. Hang in there. Now, I made some, I talked some shit last week about the, about people are like, don't go, you know, you stay away from your family at Thanksgiving, you be safe, you know, don't spread the virus. And other people are like, fuck you, you can't take my Thanksgiving. Oh, it's an American tradition. These commies trying to take my Thanksgiving. Like, and that just being ridiculous that those are the only two points of view. It's like, don't see your family at all. And fuck you, buddy. Like, those are not, it's weird to me that those are the only two categories where it's like, you know, you ever thought of about maybe just doing an outdoor Thanksgiving? Maybe. I don't know. I think the thing that bothers me, and I said this last week, but I'm going to repeat it. The thing that bothers me is just the that people who are talking shit and telling other people to stay home from Thanksgiving, like, don't do it. A lot of them went to Halloween parties. They were safe Halloween party. You still went to a Halloween party. So it's, one could see it as being a little hypocritical. Like, what you're saying isn't false. You're absolutely right. I'm not going anywhere, but I'm also not going anywhere because I just saw my fucking family. And they were lovely, by the way. Everybody was great. I just saw my immediate family at my wedding, and we all had masks and tried to be very safe. But at some point, you got to quit barking. Look, people know at this point, and you can't make exceptions for yourselves and also talk shit. You probably shouldn't talk shit at this point. Like, it's like, we got to stop. It doesn't. No, we're not going to. We're not going to stop it. And it's certainly not, you're not going to win people over by barking at them and talking down to them when, you know, it's, you clearly not perfect. And also, it just seems to me that people, it's real easy to talk to people, to tell people to not do a thing that you don't like. Because most of the people that I know don't like Thanksgiving, and they don't go home. They go home for Christmas. They don't go home. They don't leave Austin and go home for Thanksgiving. Some of them do, but a lot of them don't. So it's real easy to go, hey, don't go home to Thanksgiving. I'm not. I wasn't anyway, but I'm really not now. Like, it's not, it's, it just seems empty, and it's just weird to me that, you know, all I can say, I'm not going to tell you what you should or shouldn't do. Although, you know what you should do? Here's what you do. Just tell people that you're going back to your hometown and your childhood home to protest. And then, yeah. Just tell them, no, I'm going to go join a protest at home. While I'm there, I might eat some turkey. There's your... Oh, count all the votes. Can you pass me the potatoes? Oh, Jesus. I'm sorry. Oh, oh, I don't know, man. I, you know, just be safe, you guys. take care of yourself with the, you know, like I try to say every week, you know, you try to eat as well as you can. Make sure you exercise. Make sure you sleep. Take care of your immune system so that you can do that. You know, people are, wear a mask. No, you should take care of your immune system and wear a mask and practice social distancing and avoid crowd. Like do all of these things. Do a mix of all of the things. You know by now, hopefully. So just be cool. Take care of yourself and take care of the people you live with. And try to get your loved ones to do the same. And, you know, it's real easy to blame other people for why the pandemic is still going on. But you have to understand that it was gonna happen. You know, it's always going to happen. There's always going to be, you know, it's weird to wonder. It's like, why can't people do the right thing? Because we just have a significant portion of the population. You know, do you realize how popular the show The Masked Singer is and The Masked Dancer? And they have another show called I Can Hear Your Voice. I mean, this is what's big. And I'm sure they're going to keep making more of them. I'm sure there's going to be more shows like Who's That Clapping? The Masked Accountant. I can just see Jenna McCarthy like, oh shit, who's doing my taxes? Is that Usher? This is what people are into. This is so for them to for you to think, hey, why can't people think rationally and use good judgment? I don't. It's the masses, man. You know, people. You can't put your faith in people. You have to put your faith in individuals. It's funny, Jay, my buddy Jay, who's my best man, gave a toast, and it's an interesting thing he said about me. He said that he said John likes everybody, and that's why he's grumpy. He's so grumpy. It's probably the most true thing he said about me. Like he spoke like it was a like really truthful toast. But it's true. I don't really hate everybody. I guess that is why I'm so cranky. He ran into my father. He saw my dad, like when my dad first got there. He's like walking by and asked if he could get him a chair. And my dad goes, I don't need a chair. I can use this tree stump. It's fine. And Jay goes, you must be John's father. Yes, I am definitely my father's son. But regardless of what you do tomorrow, whether you're leaving, you know, if you're traveling or whatever, I don't know. Just use your best judgment and be safe. You know, do it. You know, everybody's responsible for their own health at this point. You know, we all know, we've all been told, none of us live in a cave. You know what's going on. So just be safe. Don't be dumb. And listen next week. I'm glad that you're a listener. I'm glad that you support me. Or you just like my bullshit for half an hour a week while you jog or garden, whatever the fuck. I appreciate it. But we'll see you next week. This has been Yes, I'm Still Sober. I'm John Raven. Later. Bad thorn that pierces skin. Come back down to earth again. The cold is creeping deep inside. Disconnect the telephone line. Gotta get away, gotta get away, get away, gotta get away.